session number 27730, reel 5.
Mr. Bob Lunt, reel 5. Now, it was shortly after you got to St. Neot's area, you're not quite sure, between St. Neot's and Cambridge, that your father became ill, well, died.
What was the story?
What happened?
My father was still working in the market, driving and taking the stuff, the food around London. And he caught his hand on a rusty nail, and it turned to poison. Gangrene set in, and it killed him. He was rushed to St. Stephen's Hospital in London, I think it's Fulham or Chelsea, is it? I don't remember. Anyway, I know it's still there. St. Stephen's Hospital. And, of course, I didn't know this until I had a letter from my mother. And my mother had written to the War Office, explained the situation. And she'd got my father's brother in to carry on with the business. But though he had a working for the war, and but in his spare time he did the morning shift, early morning shift, and then somebody else would take over during the day. And they in turn sent a message to Major Nicholson that I was to be released on a 3-month reserve. I was called to the, I think from, we'd moved back to, from St. Neots, we moved back to Northampton, to the barracks. And I was called before the orderly room, and he said that, did you know your father had died? I said, no, I didn't, until you told me. He said, the funeral is next week. I'm giving you leave to go back. But he said, on top of that, he said, you've got 3 months reserve. He said, I think he'll have to take a stripe down. I said, why is that? I said, I'm getting paid for that stripe. He said, well, I don't think they'll let you keep it because you're going on 3 months reserve. But after 3 months reserve, you will have to come back to the army. Of course, you realise that you could have done, at the beginning of the war, you could have stood down from being a soldier and been on reserve occupation. I said, well, I wasn't to know that. Anyway, I went home, went to the funeral, came back. Well, we had the funeral, and then we came back to the house. And I said, right, I said to my sister, who you got for the markets in the morning? She said, oh, you needn't worry about that. She said, I sold the business. I said, that's very nice of you. I said, what am I going to do after the war? She said, well, she said, all the things you've been getting up to, she said, about whether you come out of the war. I mean, that was the feeling between my sister and I. I said to my uncle, I said, I thought you were running the lorries. He said, I was until it was decided to. I couldn't carry on full time. And he said, I've managed to get a driver's job with Yeast Chieftain, the yeast manufacturers. I said, well, that's jolly decent. I said, what am I going to do for 3 months? I said, I've got 3 months reserve, I might as well use it. So I said, there's all this yard to organise, and the various contracts my father had maintained in business, that's all got to be sorted out. He said, well, he said, that won't bring you much money to live on. He said, there's your mother to support. I said, well, she'll have to get a job as well. He said, well, I can get you a driver's job with Chieftain. I said, we'd be very grateful if you could do that. So I went and worked 3 months for Chieftain as one of their drivers, and also sorted out the business angles.
So you were delivering yeast to the breweries?
Yes.
Now, when is this? Is this 1942?
That was coming early 42. And then time came for me to go back to the army. My mother had managed to get some people to take over the leasehold of the property. And she moved to Greenford in Middlesex.
Now, what had happened to the money from the sale of the family business?
Mystery. Complete mystery.
But you and your mother hadn't got it?
Oh, my mother had got it, yes, definitely. And because I don't think my sister would have been that mean, though she was. But my mother moved to Sudbury Heights Avenue in Greenford, and most of the furniture was sold, and except for one or two special pieces. That jug right in the corner, you see that?
They can't see it, remember?
Sorry?
They can't see it.
Don't make any difference. But anyway, the jug in that corner is part of my family. It's a Dalton jug. But anyway, there it is.
So you worked for 3 months and then went back to the army. Now, what happened? Were they still at Northampton when you went back to them?
No, they'd gone. I reported to the office of the Red Caps, which was in London, and they said, I showed them my pass and documents. They said, well, you better go back to Aldershot. They gave me some papers and I went back to Aldershot. I reported in Aldershot and they said, see, you've still got a stripe up. You can take that down for a start off. And I knew that I was going to lose that. So I took it down and said, what's your driving? Passed them my particulars over. And they said, yes, you're a fully qualified driver. You've been this, that and the other. We're looking for somebody like you. I thought, oh dear, that's ominous. So they said, well, we want some drivers over at Hereford. I said, oh. They said, have you ever driven a motor coach? I said, no. I've driven all kinds of heavy lorries. But not a motor coach. They said, well, that don't matter. You're a heavy goods driver. So there's six. They want six drivers. You're a senior soldier. You're in charge of five other drivers to go down to Hereford. So we went from Aldershot to Waterloo. Waterloo to Hereford. Oh, no. Went from Waterloo to Hereford. And then when we got to Hereford, there was an army wagon waiting there. And they picked us up. It was late at night when we got there. So anyway, you're picking him up. Right. So we went from Harryford to a place called Wormilow.
Wormilow.
W-O-R-M-L-E-A. Wormilow. It's halfway between Harryford and Ross, Monmouthshire. We were in the park called the Brengwyn Park. To spell that, it's B. B R N Y G Y W N. I think so. His birthday. I should have to look that up.
It's all right.
Brengwyn Park. We drove in, and as we went up into the park, there was all these motor coaches lined up, and I thought, oh my god. Anyway, went up to the orderly room. They said, oh yes, see, you've been a corporal.
Yeah, now, take hang on, it. Which unit were you joining? This is.
I was joining the 101 General Transport RAFC.
Okay, so they said, you were saying what they said when you got there. Sorry, I interrupted.
You're senior soldiers, a senior soldier. What are these other five like? I said, I know nothing about them. I picked them up at Aldershot and I brought them down here. Here are all our records. I gave it to the sergeant major that was there. He said, right over, I'll see you in the morning. But I'm afraid you're back to a driver. I said, well, that's all right. We'll do our best to try and get it back. So he said, right, take this man down to A platoon and you sleep. There is a spare bed there. You can sleep there. I'll see to the others in a minute. The other five, well, they weren't drivers. I'm sorry to criticise the soldier, other soldiers, but anyway, they only stayed for about 2 days and they were sent back to Aldershot. That's how good they were. Anyway, so out of six, they got one. I came up to the orderly room the next morning and met all the rest of the gang that was in the billet room, and polished me boots and put my best gear on. Went to the orderly room. They didn't have a CO. There was a temporary CO, Captain Paul. Quite a nice officer. He went to went in there and he said, what have you driven, driver? He said, I see you've been a corporal according to your record. You were a driver for a major. I said, yes, that's right, Major Nicholson. He said, do you want to become a officer's driver again? I said, I don't mind, sir. So he said, well, we've got to make sure you can drive a motor coach. Send for driver James. You take him out. I don't know why a driver took me out rather than a NCO, but anyway, he was the tester of all the drivers, and he said to me, I'm Charlie James, you're Bob Lunn, that's your coach, let's see if you can drive it. Is it a Leyland cheetah?
Cheetah.
Cheetah. C-H-E-E-T-A-H. Cheetah. We had three types of motor coaches. We had Leyland cheetahs, Leyland panthers, and Leyland lions. Three types. And I had a cheetah. He said, well, I'm going to drive it out. So to give you some idea, because in these motor coaches, the driver sat on his own. You climbed up over the right side and got into a little cabin. It was gate change, which the gears were on the right and the handbrake. And it was all double clutching. And when you double clutch with them, you had to go right down to the floorboards and then up. My father had taught me that. You take it down to the floorboards and you could feel the engine come in as you lifted your left leg up. And he said, right, now you got that, have you? I said, yep. Okay, well, let's go down this lane here. We'll go down this road here. And then we're towards Monmouth. And I believe I made a mistake earlier on. I said it was Ross. It wasn't Ross. It was Monmouth.
Okay.
On the Monmouth Road. Turn left and we picked up the Hereford Road. We turned left again. And then we came along that road, and then we turned left down another lane, and he said, stop. And I stopped. And he said, put your brakes on, put it in neutral, stand on the hill. I said, right. I suppose he thought I was I just passed my driving test. I knew what was coming. He was going to test me to see if I could reverse up the hill without running down. Anyway, he got down and he put something under my front wheel. He came alongside the cab and he said, now I want you to reverse up. I said, yes. Now? He said, yes. Put it in reverse. And I held the handbrake until I could feel the engine pulling against the handbrake, and then I released it and it went straight back up. And he said, you've done this before. I said, yes, I know I have. I said, it's one of those things you don't teach your grandmother to suck eggs, if you know the saying. So he said, yes, I know the saying. He said, it looks as though we're going to get on all right together. Yes, he said, you've passed your test. Do you want to drive the coach back? I said, well, where does this lane go? He said, go straight down, it comes to the Hereford Road, turn left, and the park is on the right. So we're more or less gone in a 3 mile square, and came in and came up to the officer. He said, oh, he's a good driver. He said, I'll pass him. He said, right. He said, you're on convoy tonight. I said, that's handy. And what we were doing, we were carrying the Polish army. And they were practicing in the Bringwen, Brecon Beacons. And it was a night manoeuvre. So we started off, there was about 30 motor coaches. I only got as far as 10-15 miles and I broke down. Waved the others on. The breakdown wagon came along. Mr. James got down and he said, now what have you done? I said, no, no, it's just stopped. He said, yes, they've given you a terrible coach. He said, everybody new in this company gets it, and you've got it. He said, it's the dirty diesel we're using. I said, well, that's handy. Why have we got to have dirty diesel? So he said, well, it's the valves that are got clogged up. So he said, it won't take long to clean them out, and then you can get going again. He said, there is a DR waiting for you, so tell you where you're going. About half an hour, they got it going again, and off I went. We were on motor coaches. There's so many stories I could tell you about the games we had with the motor coaches.
Go on then, tell us some of them.
Well, there was one that we went out on. And I remember some of the blokes that was on it. We had a Canadian fellow with us, Jimmy Sheehan, a grand fella. And here was Jimmy Sheehan, Mick Richardson, Jack Wilson, Bill Bartlett. Jack Wilson came from Wandsworth, Bill Bartlett came from Reading.
These were drivers, were they?
They were all drivers. They were a good crowd. I was one of them. And there was about six of us. There was one Corporal Spicer, Buster. And he never reported any of us. But we had a good crowd, and anyway, one of the wagons broke down, and they stayed behind. We all stayed behind till the mechanics fixed it up, and they went on. Well, the one in front of me, he got a little bit behind, and it was in the dark. Well, the DR, when there was a turning or a road that went straight on, you had to go right, they put a DR there. Well, the DR had thought all the coaches had come through, and he went, and there was us six still coming along. Well, when we got to this bend, there was a road that went straight on. Well, the one in front of me, he went straight on, so I followed him. And the other four followed me. And we went on, and the lane was slowly getting smaller. And he went round a bend in this lane, and I thought, I should never get around that. Anyway, I had two goes at this lane. And the coach that was in front of me had stopped. And he couldn't open his door. That's how small the lane was. So he got out of the window and climbed up over the top of the coach. Fortunately, we had no troops on. And he called down to me. He said, I don't know what I've done. He said, I said, I know what you've done. You come down the wrong road. So he said, well, we can't do anything about it. So, you know, all the others followed down until they couldn't move any further. Anyway, the last one did manage to back up a bit. So about three of us stayed with the coaches, and the other coach and two other drivers, they moved back and eventually caught the column up, who had been looking for us, and told them what had happened. Well, on these old wagons, you used to have a track rod between the two wheels. Don't know if you've ever seen that. It had a track rod. When you steered, either went that way or went that way. And my track rod had bent because my wheels had gone into the lane and slowly pushed my wheels over. So the track rod underneath had bent. Anyway, they got to me, eventually got to me. They got the other coaches out, they dragged them out. They got to mine, they said, well, I think we'll have to jack you up and put a new track rod in. Which they did. Which we were all on charge. For getting lost and damaging WD property, which wasn't our fault. They shouldn't have put the DR should have stayed there. He should have stayed there till the breakdown wagon came along. Well, the breakdown wagon was way behind us. And of course, there was that gap between, so we went straight on. They came back for us. But that was just one incident. But then we were still taking the Polish troops out to the Beacons, Brecon Beacons, for training. It was a kind of a job where we had it for life. But the major, we had a new major come, Major Lewis. And he dearly wanted to get abroad. And he didn't care what company he took with him, he wanted to go abroad. And we didn't want to go abroad at that time. We were having life was getting was really a song for us. Anyway.
So what did he do?
He got rid of the coaches. He put in for some lorries. And they were what they call Bedford QLs. They were a shocker. They were all new wagons. Nothing wrong with the quality of the engines. But they were high banked, and it was like you always used to say, if you have to jump from your cabin, you want a parachute. Anyway, we had these wagons, and all the.